Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. This is a virtual art school for people who are seeking one of three things. One, more fulfillment in your current career. Two, maybe you're looking to start a new studio. Or three, maybe you're looking to become world-class at your craft. And we think that the development of either of those three goals and the sort of like frustrations there are really, really contingent on three methods of development. One, sort of the development of the correct mindset. Like what mindset, what mind frame should you be in before you actually start doing these things and taking these pursuits? And number two is how do you actually build a business around your craft? How do you actually make money? How do you sell things? How do you deliver the things correctly? How do you deliver the things with elegance? And the third thing is, who else has done this? Who else is out here who have done these things that you're trying to do that you might be able to emulate and model and mimic in a respectful way? Now, we call these three segments, these three modes of learning, number one, incomplete thoughts, number two, work study, and number three, well-read. And in particular, we find that these are extremely helpful just in a complete holistic development of the artist. So if you want more information around sort of how we do this, why we do this, if you want to be tapped more into the community, first thing you can do is to go to educated-guest.com and just subscribe to our email newsletter. We don't send a whole lot of emails, mostly because we don't even like emails ourselves, but we find it's a good way to directly communicate with you on a consistent basis and bypass all the noise out there. The second thing is, you can go to our Instagram at educated_guests. That is primarily the only channel that we speak through at the moment. And we find that it's very, very helpful for people. And the third thing is that you can actually, you know, talk to us directly by going to our website, educated-guests.com, clicking on contact us, and we'll find a time to talk directly one-on-one. And that's all we have just in terms of the announcements. I feel like this is the morning announcements in high school. It was always a very daunting task to do the morning announcements. And you had to be like one of the student council people to do that. And I think I was at a certain point, but I couldn't stand the morning announcements. So that's enough of the morning announcements. Today, we're talking about something very interesting at the moment for me. And if you are into sort of developmental psychology, psychoanalytic study, then you will be familiar with this topic already. It's about understanding your shadow self. And this has become a topic that's very popular in a specific circle of people and followers and just a little subset of the internet, if you will, a little region of the internet is very well acquainted with the shadow self. But I wanted to bring it and sort of frame it in terms of the development of the artist. So let's go ahead and jump into it. So Carl Jung, that's J-U-N-G, not Y-O-U-N-G. Carl Jung actually popularized the idea of the shadow self many moons ago. This is not a new thing. Yet there's still a frequent undertone. And to some extent, you know, you could say that Freud was also responsible for this idea of the shadow self, except he coined, you know, a different way of, you know, talking about it in terms of the subconscious layers, the id and all that good stuff. Yet there's still a frequent undertone of needing to remind people just how powerful the subconscious can be, right? How can this ancient method of articulating what the subconscious could do and articulating what the subconscious is, why is this still relevant today? So there's an old quote from Jung that states that, in quote, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate, end quote. So my questions for you today are quite simple. Number one, do you believe your future is a matter of fate? Number two, if so, do you associate fate with having a positive or negative connotation? So I'll just let you noodle on those. There's no right or wrong answer, but just think about those for a minute. So there are a number of questions we'll cover today topically that'll help us sort of break down this idea of the shadow self and how it applies. So the first question we're seeking to answer is, one, what is the shadow self? Very at a definitional, I don't know if that's a word, at the definition level, what is the shadow self? The number two is, what is its importance in the realm of art and design? You know, what does it have to do with the work that we're doing, specifically the problems that artists face, the frustrations artists face? And I just say artists broadly because I don't think it's limited to any particular medium. I think it's more so about the mindset, the desire, the relentless pursuit of constant expression. And then the third question we're going to seek to answer today is, you know, what tactical things can be done to recognize and embrace the worst and most animalistic parts of yourself? It's a scary question. Animalistic. Nobody really likes to hear that. So let's start by defining the shadow self. So the shadow self implies that there is an inherent monster within each person. Jung believed that your capacity to do good in the world would always be limited by your capacity to understand the evil you could also create. Your capacity to do good in the world would always be limited by your ability to understand the evil you could also create. So human completion in Jung's, in this true like Jungian psychology mode of understanding, human completion couldn't be reached until someone knew and harnessed the worst part of themselves. Shadows are quite common and show up in many different forms. And if you're familiar with the Christian tradition, then you know that there are seven deadly sins. So the only trouble with these seven sins is that there isn't much talk about how to harness the energy that these sins present. Let's talk about lust, for example. Let's take lust, for example. You see somebody who's hot. Male or female, doesn't really matter what you're into. You just see somebody that you're attracted to. You would like to be close to them. They remind you of the feeling intimacy provides, and you think they're the only ones who hold the vial of intimacy. So your brain ruminates on, all right, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And I don't know what, I'm not a woman, so I don't know what the brain ruminates on for women, but I imagine it's something pretty similar. It's like, what do I need to do in your young mind, right? What do I need to do to break down the walls that you've constructed around this person to help them provide you with the vial of intimacy that you seek? So then you lose focus on your mission or the vision you have for your life, all because of this feeling of lust. So now, without going into too much detail around lust specifically and like all the second, third order consequences, I want to draw your attention to just how many second and third order consequences can spawn from one simple thought of, oh, they're nice looking. Oh, they look good. Like, think about that. So if you consider lust, gluttony, sloth, etc., to be lesser versions of yourself that can spiral infinitely downward, then don't the laws of nature presuppose that the inverse of these thoughts could spiral infinitely upward? Think about that. If you can construct a whole plan for how to spiral your idea of someone else holding the vial, I like to call it the vial of intimacy. I think it sounds pretty cool. The vial of intimacy. It sounds very Tolkien-esque. It's like very, I don't know, Dungeons and Dragons-esque. I never even played that, so I don't know if they... It's like Yu-Gi-Oh. It sounds like a Yu-Gi-Oh trap card or something like that. The vial of intimacy. Anyway, so very realistically, you know, you're sucked into this trap of going downward in the spiral of constructing a plan of how to reach something you think someone else has for you, and that turns into lust, or maybe the same thing around gluttony where you figure out, all right, well, I got this big-ass menu. I'm going to order everything on the menu. Sloth. It's like, how many different Netflix episodes can I watch? I'm going to watch them all. Wow, I got this one after that one and after this one. And it just spirals downward. Just imagine just a spiral down all the way to the pit of despair, whatever that pit of despair is for you. So you end up in this place, and the job you've taken on as an artist is to fully embrace and learn to communicate what the subconscious says about existing here and now in your current human form. So as we've talked about many times before, you use the manipulation of light, color, shadow, body, sound, et cetera, all these different things to communicate things in a universal truth language. So what did I just say just then? Like, what does that even mean? I just said a whole lot. It sounded good. But the very essence of what I'm saying right there is that all the energy that you spend spiraling downward and constructing a plan, you have to recognize that that energy, the exploration of how deep that energy goes, and the noting of what that energy is, actually can serve you in a positive light as well. To know where your pit of despair is, to reach rock bottom, is to know the capacity of your heaven, whatever your heaven, whatever the upward sky is for you, to know the capacity of your ceiling. And it's not to say that you need to rest in that pit of despair, to rest in that worst part of you, to rest in that lust, to rest in that sloth, to rest in that gluttony, to really embrace. It's like, oh, I'm embracing my gluttonous phase right now. I'm getting fat. And I'm doing it out of love for my future healthy self. Because if I can spend this much time getting fat, I should be able to spend this much time getting healthy. That's a good thought in theory. But that's not necessarily what this is about. So the problem with this is that if you get far enough into your art, this is why it relates to art and design. Now that we've sort of defined what the shadow self is, the problem is that if you get far enough into your art, you will quickly realize your capacity to become your worst self. It manifests. You know, we admire artists who push this boundary of polarization. Some good examples of this exist in the public rage that occurs in the form of a mosh pit, and outright radiance. I don't know if anyone has ever talked about, you know, mosh pits and radiance in the same sentence, but here we are today. This outright radiance that occurs in something like burlesque dancing. That's radiance. That's energy. Some might call it, you know, very conservative people might call it, oh, well, that's stripping. Oh, well, that's, you know, that's violence. But all it is this energy. It's energy going outward. It's energy going into something. And I'm not even saying it's necessarily good or bad. It's just energy. So the reason why people participate and fall in love with these polarities is that they're able to catch a glimpse and celebrate the worst parts of themselves. So maybe this idea of a mosh pit for many people is just a small glimpse. It's like a taste. It's a little vial. Again, back to this idea. It's a little shot of energy into what you really want to do, what you really think about. There's that Kanye song. He's like, you know, best believe I thought about killing you. Because I think about killing myself and I love myself way more than I love you. So best believe I thought about killing you. And no one ever wants to talk about these very dark thoughts, mostly because it's not health. Like, it's mostly because of the social norm around the idea of thinking to kill, premeditated murder. All these different ideas are very, very realistically punishable by law. But is the thought, does that remove the ability to think the thought? Right? And I think that the suppression of those thoughts actually limits our ability to understand. This is where the whole Jungian psychology thing comes in, is like the suppression of that thought of, I wanted to kill that person. I wanted to punch them in the face. I wanted to slap them. I wanted all these different violent, like these warrior, like these savage, like behavioral animalistic, back to that term. You know, it's not that we're supposed to not have anger. So how to deal with that anger, how to cope with that anger, not cope, but create new energy out of that anger, to use that anger as the pushing point, the springboard into a more positive place. You know, the pressures of being perfect, you know, often result in a need to act out in private and bring out all those terrible thoughts to life in form of a vice. Not advice, but a vice. So think about this pressure of being perfect, particularly now, you know, as everybody's living their life on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok and all this good stuff. They're very useful tools for, you know, getting the word out about whatever it is you whatever it is you're doing. And it's an old saying that says that nothing will kill a bad product quicker than good marketing. So really, you have the best marketing platforms ever created in the history of human existence, just to honestly publicize what's good or what's bad about you. But nobody ever wants to publicize the bad, obviously. So they publicize all the good. They ignore the bad. But the bad still exists and it festers, and you start doing things in private. You might start, you know, doing drugs. You might start doing, you know, drinking a whole lot of alcohol. You might start, you know, doing whatever it is you view as a vice. I'm not here to judge people for whatever it is they do, because I know that people judge people all the time for, you know, being drunk or drinking too much or whatever, but nobody ever judges people who don't take care of their health. So, you know, gluttony is also a sin in I guess the Christian tradition. So, and I imagine that in most religious traditions, this idea of drunkenness is right on par with the idea of taking care of and paying attention to your body and mind and spirit. I do yoga as well, so I know that's giving thanks to your body, giving thanks to your practice, and understanding the gift that your body is. So I'm not here to judge anyone's vice. The point of this episode, the point of this lecture, is to talk about a new form of thinking about all the thoughts you might have. So how do you think about thinking is what this is about. And the reason I hope that it helps is that there are horrific behaviors in all of us. It's terrifying to realize that you can exist anywhere on the spectrum in the Christian tradition, from Christ to Satan, from whatever the equivalent is for anyone listening of the idealistic nature of a Christ-like figure to, you know, you can exist anywhere from Harry Potter to Voldemort, or Dumbledore to Voldemort. Like, you can exist on that spectrum, but you notice that even in the Harry Potter story, there's elements of Voldemort within Harry. And I haven't read or watched the movies in quite a while, so I don't know exactly what the quote is, but I think it's something along the lines is that he lives with parts of him live in me. That's sort of the adult beauty of the Harry Potter series, is that it's a very, very interesting take on not only the hero's journey, but it's also an interesting take on classic Jungian psychology and understanding the shadow self. You know, the dementors, these different elements of the shadow, this horrific behavior that exists within everybody, the monsters are incredibly popular. So the interesting takeaway here as we begin to wrap up is, I mentioned the earlier question of what tactical things can be done to recognize and embrace the worst and most animalistic parts of yourself. So there are a lot of tactics here, but I want to talk about one last thing. Going to be with the demon within yourself is the most powerful you'll ever feel. To rest, to make friends with the demon within yourself. So maybe that demon is jealousy, envy. Maybe you hate seeing other people be successful, but it's not popular to really hate because you don't want to be a hater. But at the same time, you really don't like when people get more likes than you on Instagram. You really don't like when, you know, people are looking better than you. You really don't like when nobody likes your picture, but they like somebody else's picture. You really don't like when people comment bad things underneath your things that you thought were really good. No one ever wants to mention that those are very real thoughts for everyone. And maybe it's not jealousy. Maybe everybody, you know, J. Cole's got this line, is like, everybody got their thing. Some people make millions, other people make memes. And he uses other words there, but it's like everybody's got their thing, for a lack of better grammar. But there's great power in knowing what your thing is. You know, comedians are like, I forget who said this, but comedians are like mediators between the normal world and the world of the gods. You know, they're tricksters. They waver back and forth. And I wish I could really quote who said that, but there's this idea that the moment that you can laugh at the worst parts of yourself, you've made peace with the worst parts of yourself. There's this idea of suppression versus embracing. So what can you do tactically to realize the shadow self? I've got five questions that I think are worthy questions to ask. Number one is, do you feel jealousy when someone gets more likes on Instagram? Number two is, do you think you deserve more credit than you receive? Number three is, do you wish you had more than you currently have? Number four is, do you sometimes think about killing or hurting other people? That's a very unpopular question. And for reasons that aren't necessarily talked about. And I'm not a clinical therapist. I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not offering, this is a public declaration that I'm not a professional at this. But I know which questions I've had to ask myself that have delivered better results in realizing the worst of me so that I can make peace with the worst of me so that I can move into the best of me. And the fifth and final question is, do you think about spending every second of every minute with someone else? And I think that those five questions will cover the gamut of your cravings. They'll cover the gamut of your worst desires. And once you realize what those worst desires and those worst addictions are, then you'll start to uncover what those coping mechanisms are. Then you'll start to understand whether you move, again, whether you deliver your art from a place of coping or from a place of creation of new and positive energy. So in the interest of time, I want to end by offering a few words of advice to get your mind churning today. So if you happen to answer yes to any of the questions I just posed, then I want you to pay attention to which feeling comes immediately after. You know, do you feel ashamed? Do you feel proud? Do you feel relieved? So how you feel about these truths is honestly a great indicator. It's a great indicator of how you approach problems in the world. If you hide from this deepest, darkest truth of yourself, then the principle of opposite energy implies that you are also hiding from your biggest, most radiant light to give. Again, there's an infinite spiral upward that couples your infinite spiral downward. So choosing to act on one spiral or the other will directly and naturally direct your life. So I just advise you to spend some time thinking about those questions. Uncover how you feel after you realize the truth and rest in knowing that physics, any principle-based logic of how opposites work, whether it be in the physical realm or the spiritual realm with karma or like the physical realm with actual physics, you should really rest in knowing that there's an opportunity for you to become way, way better than whatever that worst part of yourself is. So that's why I want to cover this today. I know people might be feeling a little down, might be feeling ashamed of their worst addictions, but I'm here to tell you that, like, no more shame. No more being ashamed of who you are, the worst things that you think about, the best things that you think about, because as you expand the realm of the worst and the best, you become more able to give the world your best. So that's all I have. If you want more, go to educated-guest.com. If you want to talk about it some more, go to @educated_guest on Instagram, and we'll talk there. All right, peace.